do know the CFL schedule is going to be released today. I don't know if that's coincidental or that's all part of the plan. But to kind of take a state of the nation of where we're at right now with the Canadian Football League, who better to talk to than a guy who broadcast the Saskatchewan Roughriders games for a couple of decades and certainly knows the league inside and out. He now hosts the Rod Peterson Show at rodpeterson.com. We welcome to the show. I guess we couldn't have anybody but Rod Peterson on since it's the Rod Peterson Show on rodpeterson.com. How you doing this morning, Rod?
Outstanding, JR. Good to hear from you, my friend, and Simmer as well. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Thanks for joining us. So can you describe what this weekend would have been like in Saskatchewan had the Grey Cup been this weekend like we all hoped it would be?
I'm trying not to think about that, JR, because I'm getting asked a lot what it's like around here. It's kind of a state of depression. What it would have been like? The 2013 Grey Cup was the biggest financial Grey Cup in the history of Grey Cups, $97 million revenue for the province. This was supposed to be the biggest ever, bigger than that. Obviously, the Grey Cup parades, welcoming the nation. Who knows who would have been in the game? But it's right around Labor Day, people kind of resigned and accepted the fact that there was not going to be a season. They accepted it. So it's actually pretty quiet around here, as you can imagine, as the streets of every city across this country just kind of, I will say the CFL did a nice job of staying in the news and so forth. You mentioned the schedule's supposed to be coming out, but it's not a lot of talk about it because it's very painful to think about.
And Rod, you've been to the mall, meaning all the different cities in Canada. Does anything even come close to a Grey Cup in Regina, Saskatchewan?
Well, yeah, they're all great. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this, JR, 3 years ago today.
Yeah, my friend.
You and I had lunch together at what is still deemed the greatest Legends Lunch, CFL Alumni Legends Lunch ever. The biggest ever.
Put together by Jeff Avery, our good friend Jeff Avery.
That's right. And Russ Jackson broke down on stage about what pro football meant to Ottawa. And that, to this day, I had Matthew Schinetti on my show the other day, and he said the 27 Grey Cup at Ottawa was his favorite because of the snow globe, atmosphere, great game. They're all great, Simmer. They're literally all great. You can see where I'm coming from there, can't you?
Yeah, no, for sure. I just look at this, you know, Regina, and I know in Ottawa it's been a big deal, but if you kind of went away from the Lansdowne area, I assume when it's in Regina, it just takes over the entire city and basically the entire province, that's all.
It is. Oh, you nailed it. It's bigger there. And, you know, there's, I can't remember what they said. It was 40 to 50,000 people came into the city for that particular Grey Cup in 2013. And there was supposed to be more here this year. So, hey, we see where it's at. Bob Young, the owner of the Ticats, came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on the Ticats Twitter account and guaranteed, I don't know how he could do this, but he guaranteed they'll be playing the Grey Cup in Hamilton next year. And as you probably know, they've bumped Saskatchewan back to 2022 in the rotation. So it'll be back. And I think the CFL is kind of gambling that people are going to miss it so much that they just can't live without it. I'm kind of erred towards the out of sight, out of mind. You guys better step up here because you're in a competitive market space for dollars from consumers and advertisers. That's what I think. I think there's going to be a heck of a lot more work for the CFL to become relevant whenever it does come back.
Talking to Rod Peterson on what would have been a Grey Cup weekend out in Saskatchewan. So, I mean, the CFL is no bigger than it is where you broadcast from, Rod, and the people that you talk to, and I'm sure it's a topic 365 days a year. So over the past few months, as you kind of surveyed things, not only in your home province, but around the rest of the league, where do we lay right now? Like, and how kind of negative a space are most of the CFL observers, most of the people thinking about the league right now?
Well, where we lay is this. I mean, I kind of go back and forth. The players and coaches are on one side, management, owners on another, very split in terms of getting back onto the field whenever we do. You see the arguments that are happening now between NHL players and owners. Every league is the same, but there's not as much money in the CFL. And what I'm to answer your question, JR, this league's going to need to change whenever it comes back. And I just get the sense that the current power brokers in the CFL are kicking and screaming and don't want to change. You know, and that's one of the reasons they didn't get money from Ottawa when they asked for it twice back in the spring and summer. The CFL needs to change. And
change how?
I think the salary structure needs to change. I think that there's top-heavy salaries. The revenue does not match the expenses in the CFL. It needs to become a more economically feasible model. That's all off-field stuff. For instance, I had Dave Hodge on my show maybe 10 days ago, and I said, how does the CFL need to change? And he said, they need to get rid of the rouge, go to four downs, change the field. I'm like, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with the CFL product. But the business model, if it in a good year, guys, you lose $10 to $20 million, you think that shouldn't change? That's how it needs to change. And secondly, there's a very real possibility that they don't play in 2021. You talked about the schedule coming out. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. And the commissioner said on Monday to be positive. He came on my show the next day and said, let's be positive. And I said, I was positive last year for you guys, and you dropped the ball. You see what I'm saying? That's a fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No. Yeah. You guys got a lot to prove here in 2021. I'm past being positive.
Rod, you tipped on the economics, and I only know from my background with the National Hockey League. I've never been able to understand the finances of a league. You mentioned those losses. A dream of most leagues is to have most of their player costs, covered by a TV deal in TSN, which from what I understand is pretty close. How in God's name can you then turn around and be having these kinds of losses? I just can't get my head around on it.
Well, don't look at me for an answer. That's why I was going to say we're in the bind that we're in, but it's not we. It's they. The TSN contract covers entirely the salary cap. So that's the question. And believe me, I've talked with government officials who didn't like the CFL's tone of their pitch when they asked for $150 million last spring. And you've got bad contracts, Zimmer. Like, Mike Riley makes $750,000 a year. I know that's not NHL terms, but it makes up a high percentage of your salary cap in the CFL. The salary cap's $6.5 million. Do the math. $750,000. You still have 43 other players to play,
but they're not going over the salary cap though. So when I see these, like when that ask came, I'm like I said in the National Hockey League, if you said to me, if I'm spending $80 million U.S. on payroll, and my other costs are five times that, I'd ask, who in God's name is all this money going to?
Well, that's what we're asking, and people are getting very testy, having their feet held to the fire as to explain that exact question right there, Sean. So here we are. That's what needs to change. JR asked what needs to change. That's it. And listen, we all love the CFL. Goes back a long ways. But I was talking to a member of the 86 Ticats the other day. Their Grey Cup game was on television. And he goes, I'm looking. We had a coaching staff of five people. Now it's double that. We only had a roster of 33 players. Now it's 44. The CFL was in bad financial straits in the 80s. What's changed in 30 years? Really, nothing. So, it's grown too much for what the revenues are. We've got beautiful stadiums. What you guys have in Ottawa is absolutely magical. You know that. I don't need to tell your listeners anything. The CFL product is tremendous, but it needs to be tweaked off the field. And just the sense that I'm getting in talking to all the power brokers here over the last 8-9 months, they don't want to change. So I fear a bit for the future of this league, if that's the direction.
Rod Peterson is our guest. We're talking about the future of the Canadian Football League. Listen, it's long been rumored that, and it's fact, I think, that in the three biggest cities in this country is where the CFL is struggling the most, Toronto, Montreal, and although Montreal did rebound a little bit last year, but Vancouver, certainly, Toronto and Vancouver are tough spots right now. It's long been debated, do you need to be in the biggest markets necessarily? Well, you need the media exposure, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you fall on that debate of where the Canadian Football League needs to have its franchises?
Well, I'd like to see it go into Maritimes, number one. Should have happened already. And it's a debate we probably don't have time for. The forefathers of this league say we absolutely must have a team in Toronto. We have to. That's where the head offices are. Forget about it. And I'm like, well, the NFL didn't have a team in L.A. for 25 years. So I think you could get by without it. But I just think more work needs to be done in those markets and a little more stable ownership, JR. I mean, at least we're sitting here with the Argonauts not talking about them folding because MLSC owns them. And now the BC Lions are on the block for sale, and hopefully they get stable ownership in the market that they're in. I just think it's not as much about the market and the demographics. I just think more work needs to be done in those markets. It wasn't, in my mind, that long ago. I was in BC Place for games, Saskatchewan against BC, with 55,000 people there for a regular season game. Now, that was 04, 05, so maybe it was a long time ago, but it's still color television. And I know how Bobby Ackles did it, the president of the Lions. And it was, you know, shaking hands, feet on the ground marketing. The CFL guys need to realize what it is. It's not the NFL. It's not the NHL. It's blue-collar lunch bucket. What's wrong with that? But the CFL right now doesn't really realize, I don't think it realizes what it is, or doesn't want to acknowledge what it is. And that's what needs to be figured out. I don't think there's anything wrong with being in those major markets. There's beautiful facilities. BMO in Toronto is gorgeous. BC Place, I was told if it was to be built today, BC Place would cost $4 billion. It's a jaw-dropping facility to this day. So it's not like you're going to a dump or a hole. I just think more work needs to be done, guys, in the markets by the teams. That's all.
And, Rod, you look at that nationally, any sport that's played, it's also not like the popularity of football itself is going down. The NFL keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you made a point there. As we come out of this, outside of Regina, every other one of these franchises is now going to compete with an NHL team in their market. In the case of Toronto, baseball as well. To rebuild your season ticket base and the economics we're under and your corporate, boy, it's going to be a real tough haul for the CFL.
It's all about economics. And the other thing is with Chase Claypool, every Sunday now, Canadian kids are running to their TV to watch Chase Claypool with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I've kind of been begging with the CFL people, myself here, I'm saying, guys, you lost the battle with the NFL over the last 20 years. It's over. It's done. But the good thing is Chase Claypool is making Canadian kids want to play football. All of these Canadians that are starring in the NFL and NCAA, that's only a good thing for the Canadian Football League. The more people playing the game, the better. You're right, Zimmer. The sport's not dying. They need to find a way to capitalize on how the game's changed without the CFL really noticing. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Back to where we started this interview, Randy Ambrosi said, we plan to play in 2021 because there's vaccines coming out. I'm like, Randy, that sounds more like a prayer than a plan. And I told him, I was hoping you'd say we're playing no matter what. And he said, no, well, that is the plan, but I just wanted to be positive. So they are talking about things behind the scenes. I don't know what they are because I'm not in those meetings. So I'm hoping for the best. Just the fact that they weren't able to get on the field this year wasn't a good sign when most other leagues were.
Is Randy Ambrosi the right guy to lead this league into the future?
Yeah, I absolutely think that he is. And I, faced with an unprecedented situation that he's in, I don't know who could have guided the CFL out of this. The problem is he answers to 9 owners that wield the hammer. You know, I think you guys know the power breakdown in the NFL, the NHL. Goodell and Bettman can wield the hammer. For whatever reason, whomever the CFL commissioner is doesn't have the power. So that's another thing that may or may not change. I think it needs to. With David Braley passing, God bless the man for what he's done for the CFL. But if he didn't want to play in 2020, they weren't going to play. I just learned this week the vote to play was 6-3. To play, and they didn't. So please tell me how they don't get on the field with that.
Right.
So, look, if Randy's not the guy, I don't know who is, to answer your question.
Well, these are certainly these are uncertain times for everything. I keep saying that. I got to stop saying these are uncertain times because these are uncertain times. There's a certain time I need to stop saying it's uncertain times. But certainly for the league going forward here in the certainly for the next few months, and we'll see. If we have a league starting up again in June of next year. But Rod Peterson has been our guest. He hosts the Rod Peterson Show on rodpeterson.com, longtime voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Thanks a lot, Rod. Always good to catch up with you.
Have a good weekend, guys.